I'm John Strum, and this is Real Talk MS. It's November 8th, and we have a lot to talk about. Today, I'm on my way to Dallas, Texas for the National MS Society's Leadership Conference, and I'm especially excited because while I'm there, we're going to produce next week's episode of Real Talk MS in front of a live audience. That's going to be a new experience for me, and it should be a lot of fun. Today is also Election Day across the United States, and if you haven't already done so, I hope you're planning to vote. I believe that advocacy can make a real difference, and the most fundamental form of advocacy is making your voice heard by casting your vote. If you're affected by MS, I hope you'll carefully consider which candidates are going to support the kinds of healthcare legislation and funding that will most benefit you and your family. If you'd like more information on polling place accessibility or any other aspect of casting your vote in today's election, the National MS Society has published an online guide to your right to vote and polling place accessibility, and you'll find a link to that guide in today's show notes. I also want to take a moment to answer a question that several of you sent my way this past week. By now, most of you have heard me refer to the ECTRIMS Congress that took place in Amsterdam just a couple of weeks ago as the largest MS research conference in the world. ECTRIMS is an acronym for the European Committee for Treatment and Research in Multiple Sclerosis, and several of you asked me how big this annual scientific congress is. Well, imagine 7,000 MS researchers and clinicians who are actually at the conference, with another 1,700 joining virtually to listen to over 200 live research presentations and review more than 1,400 research abstracts, each one describing a different MS research study. And I'll add that being there, with all of this happening around you, is a completely absorbing, sensation-overloading, and somewhat overwhelming three-day experience, where it seems like you're constantly faced with decisions like deciding whether you'll watch part of one research presentation and then dash to another meeting room or lecture hall to catch part of another presentation because they both happen to be taking place at the same time. That's how big, how engaging, and how exhausting the annual ECTRIMS conference is. And I hope that adequately answers those of you who may have been wondering about that. You know, on this podcast, when we talk about managing MS, most of the time we're talking about treatments based on traditional Western medicine. But there are also complementary therapies that have been shown to improve MS symptoms. And acupuncture is one of those complementary therapies that's been shown to be effective in treating pain, spasticity, numbness or tingling, bladder problems, and even depression. Joining me today to talk about the therapeutic effects of acupuncture in treating MS symptoms are Jennifer Moore Boscaino and Ken Bandler. Jennifer is a licensed acupuncturist and the founder of Precious Health Acupuncture in New York, and Ken is a public relations executive who lives with MS and receives acupuncture treatment for his symptoms. But before we get to my conversation with Jennifer and Ken, there are a few other things that you should know about. Increasing participation in clinical trials, and more specifically, increasing participation from members of underserved communities, has been perhaps the topic of conversation and the focus of activity among medical researchers, pharmaceutical companies, and patient advocacy organizations over the past couple of years. It's a challenging problem to solve, and I think we're beginning to see some solutions on the horizon. A study currently taking place at 32 different sites in the US and the UK may be demonstrating one more way to increase minority participation in MS research. The Deliver MS study is focused on comparing the effects of early treatment of relapsing remitting MS with so-called high-efficacy disease-modifying therapies versus starting treatment with a disease-modifying therapy that isn't as aggressive, may not be as effective, but carries fewer potential risks and side effects, and then escalating that treatment to a stronger medication only if and when the more moderate treatment fails. Now, that treatment approach is called escalation therapy. Treatment with high-efficacy disease-modifying therapies, that treatment approach is called induction therapy. Now, the disease-modifying therapies being used in the group of study participants receiving induction therapy include Lemtrada, Tysabri, Ocrevus, Rituxan, and Kesimpta. All the other disease-modifying therapies are being used in the group of study participants receiving escalation therapy. Now, this study is what's called a pragmatic study, and in a pragmatic study, the work associated with the study itself is embedded in regular clinical practice. In other words, the study is linked to the visits to the clinic that a study participant would normally be making. This makes the logistics associated with just showing up far easier to manage. And when the research team from the DeliverMS study analyzed the first 600 participants they had recruited, they found that the racial and ethnic distribution of study participants closely mirrored the racial and ethnic distribution found in the general US and UK populations. Now, obviously, every clinical trial isn't going to be a good fit for a pragmatic trial. But this latest evidence, announced just a couple of weeks ago at the ECTRIMS Congress, makes the case that making it easy for study participants to show up makes it easier for members of minority populations to participate in clinical research. Now, if you'd like to learn more about DeliverMS and perhaps see if you might be a potential participant, you'll find a link in today's show notes. Over the course of the COVID-19 pandemic, it's been repeatedly observed that immunocompromised patients, including those receiving B-cell depleting therapies like Ocrevus, have shown a very limited antibody response to the COVID vaccine. However, new research announced at the ECTRIMS Congress confirms the importance of the COVID-19 mRNA vaccination and boosters for people living with MS who are being treated with B-cell depleting therapies like Ocrevus. The data comes from the VIOLA study, which is a study that's following 60 people living with MS who are receiving Ocrevus, and this study is tracking and analyzing their immune response to COVID vaccines. The average age of the 60 study participants is 38. 73% are women, and all 60 participants have been taking Ocrevus for an average of 1.7 years. 80% of the study participants received the Pfizer-BioNTech mRNA vaccine, 18% received the Moderna vaccine, and 2% of the study participants weren't quite sure which of the two mRNA vaccines they received. In addition, 57% of the study participants had received a third vaccination, as recommended by both the National MS Society and the CDC. 45% of the study participants had had COVID prior to being vaccinated. Now, the research team observed that both antibody and cellular responses to the vaccines significantly increased after two doses of the mRNA vaccines. Although they pointed out antibody responses peaked between 4 and 12 weeks and then declined, but there was no decline in the cellular response even after 24 weeks. The third vaccination significantly increased both the antibody and cellular immune response to COVID-19, and the cellular response remained elevated and even increased from week 4 to week 12. Those study participants who had been infected with COVID-19 and then also vaccinated showed an even higher antibody and cellular response following their vaccination. I think it's important for us to keep in mind that scientists are continuing to learn about COVID-19 in real time. And while there have been multiple reports of a decreased antibody response to COVID-19 among people on B-cell depleting therapies, antibodies don't make up our body's entire immune response. Researchers have shared with me that it's much more difficult to measure that cellular immune response. but the evidence reported from this study certainly makes the case that people living with MS who are on Ocrevus should make sure that they're receiving all three vaccinations and the new booster that became available this past September as well. You may be giving yourself more protection against a case of COVID-19 becoming serious than you originally thought. November is National Caregivers Month, and many of you already know that my wife lived with a particularly difficult case of progressive MS for 23 years. And during that time, I served as her caregiver and advocate. Given my own experience of learning how to be a good caregiver by first making every possible mistake, I have a keen interest in improving the quality of life for the spouses, partners, family members, and friends who provide support to a loved one who's living with MS. So for close to 2 years, I've been working with iConquerMS, the participant-powered MS research network, to develop a toolkit for MS caregivers. And I haven't been working on this alone. I'm part of a remarkable team of healthcare professionals and MS caregivers who have leveraged their own lived experience to provide insights and opinions in developing this toolkit. Well, now we've reached a point in our work where we really need the input of more MS caregivers. So I'm hoping you'll do me a favor, and all it will cost you is about 5 minutes of your time. If you're an MS caregiver, or you know an MS caregiver, it would mean a lot to me if you'd spend about 5 minutes completing an online survey. Getting your opinions will ensure that our toolkit offers the right resources to help resolve the issues that are most important to MS caregivers. The survey is completely anonymous, and rather than just rattle off a long, complicated URL, I've created a shortcut that I hope you'll find easy to remember. Just visit realtalkms.com/caregiver. And you should find yourself at the survey. Now that URL is mine, but the survey isn't. It's being administered by iConquerMS, and again, it's completely anonymous. We know all the ways that MS can impact an individual, but what we don't often talk about is the impact that MS has on their caregiver. The National MS Society reports that 64% of MS caregivers report feeling emotionally drained, 32% experience depression, and 22% have lost a job due to their caregiving responsibilities. Additional research has shown that long-term family caregivers face a more limited lifetime earning potential, along with a shortened life expectancy. National Caregivers Month reminds us of the importance of caring for the caregiver. By sharing your opinion through our online survey, you can play a role in improving the life of someone who's dedicated to improving the life of someone else who's living with MS. I want to thank you in advance for investing 5 minutes of your time in helping to create an MS caregiver toolkit that we hope will provide the right answers to the right caregiving questions before those questions even arise. Again, you'll find that survey at realtalkms.com/caregiver, and I'll include that link in today's show notes. Acupuncture is a complementary therapy that may improve the overall well-being of people living with MS and their caregivers. Jennifer Moore Boscaiano and Ken Bandler are joining me today to talk about the therapeutic benefits of acupuncture and to answer some of the common questions you might have. In a moment, we'll meet my guests, Jennifer and Ken. It's estimated that one-third of the world's population has received treatment by some form of traditional Chinese medicine. And today, an increasing number of people are using acupuncture as a complementary treatment for managing their MS symptoms. Joining me to discuss the potential benefits of acupuncture for people living with MS are Jennifer Moore Boscaiano and Ken Bandler. Jennifer is a licensed acupuncturist and the founder of Precious Health Acupuncture in New York. And Ken is a public relations executive who lives with MS and receives acupuncture treatment for his MS symptoms. Ken is also a member of the National MS Society Greater New York City Long Island Chapter Board of Trustees. Jennifer, Ken, welcome to the podcast.
Hello. Good to be here, Tom.
Hi. How's it going?
Jennifer, I hope you'll start us off by explaining what acupuncture is and how it works.
Acupuncture is a means of creating change in the body. It's a medicine that's been around for about 2,500 years. And basically, we insert very hair-fine needles into the body to create change. We know that it affects the parasympathetic nervous system, which is the rest and digest. And we know that it decreases the sympathetic nervous system, which is the fight flight. Most accepted mechanism of action, or how it works, is actually shown by the fMRIs, functional MRIs, which basically show that it works on the connective tissue. The connective tissue is tendon, muscle, bone, blood. Blood is liquid connective tissue, and there's an electrical currency, just like in the brain, just like in the heart. Put one needle one place, another needle another place, and you will make an electrical change. There's actually new research that just came out about the mast cells, which are the inflammatory cells that are clustered around all the acupuncture points. There's a lot of them around the acupuncture points, and that acupuncture might also work at that place too, in the mast cells, for the mast cells.
As our listeners were imagining those very fine needles being inserted into various parts of the body, I'm sure some of them were wondering whether or not those needles hurt. So, do they?
That's pretty much the first question people always ask me, is, does it hurt? And to be honest with you, some people have absolutely no sensation at all. Some people actually have like a moving, warming, tingling pain sensation that is kind of common. And a lot of people think that the insertion would create the sensation. A lot of times it doesn't. Sometimes those feelings happen within the body. So I was just working with someone who has MS, and he has tingling and numbness in one of his feet, and he also has a drop foot. And on the third treatment, he started to feel a change. Like something was different in his foot, and he was walking a little differently. And on the fourth treatment, he said to me, "Wow, I haven't felt this in years. This is so great." So sometimes the sensation is actually very welcoming.
You know, a moment ago, I mentioned that acupuncture continues to gain popularity here in the United States. What are some of the illnesses or conditions that acupuncture might treat?
So if you look at the website for the World Health Organization, they say that acupuncture treats a lot of different things. Here's what I really think it treats very, very well. Two things: stress and pain. So for the stress part, we know that it increases the parasympathetic, the rest and digest, and decreases the sympathetic, the fight and flight. So if your symptoms are stress-induced, or if you get flare-ups due to stress, acupuncture can help with that part. It also works on pain. It's pretty accepted that acupuncture can help with low back pain, neck pain, migraines, knee pain. But what I've seen in my practice, it helps actually with digestive problems, especially people with MS who have constipation, and can also help with the numbness and tingling and the drop foot.
Once someone begins acupuncture treatment, how long does it take before they start realizing any benefits?
So it depends. Each person is different. If you've had acupuncture before, it works quicker. If you haven't had acupuncture before, usually takes a couple treatments. The first two treatments, you don't really see much of a change. And usually by the third treatment, there is a shift. Either you feel the stomach rumbling because you're working on constipation, or you feel like your body's relaxing because you're working on anxiety, or you actually feel tingling in your foot, as we discussed earlier. And usually by the fifth treatment, there's a change where it lasts for at least a week or so.
Are there any side effects associated with acupuncture?
The biggest side effect is really a bruise, and that doesn't happen often. Most of the time, people ask me why I don't really bleed them, and that's really because I look to see where the blue veins are, and I avoid them.
Are there any people, or maybe groups of people, who shouldn't get acupuncture?
People who are intoxicated and people who have hemophilia should not get acupuncture. If you're on a baby aspirin, or if you are on a blood thinner, it's totally fine. Again, I avoid the blue veins, so you can actually get acupuncture. And if you're pregnant, I do a lot of acupuncture on people who are pregnant. There are certain points that I have to do when you're pregnant, and so I just ask you, let me know that you're pregnant in the first trimester.
Is there any published research about the effectiveness of acupuncture among people with MS?
There's a new exciting research that just came out in February of this year, 2022. It's a literary review of 31 studies about acupuncture and MS. And basically, it shows that acupuncture can reduce pain, improve bladder function, reduce spasming legs, and reduce the fatigue. There's a lot more research out there on other neurological conditions such as Parkinson's. So hopefully that will actually make more of a change for people who have MS and do more research for MS. Most of the research right now is based on pain management due to the opioid crisis.
So what's the best way for people to find a reputable licensed acupuncturist?
So you can go to the NCCAOM, which stands for the National Certification Commission for Acupuncture and Oriental Medicine, NCCAOM. And there you'll see a list of acupuncturists who've gone to graduate school for 3 to 4 years to get a master's degree. And some people are getting doctorates now in Oriental medicine. And we've all taken boards. There are 3 boards you have to take to practice, but we do have 4 national boards, and I've taken all 4 of them. One of them is Western medicine, and one of them is safety. And from there, I would check to see if you have insurance coverage for it. And if you do, those acupuncturists have been vetted also. So you can call those people up and have an appointment with them, make an appointment with them.
Thanks so much, Jennifer. Ken, thank you for your patience while Jennifer gave us this very brief but thorough version of Acupuncture 101. Before we get into your actual treatment, can you first tell me when you were diagnosed with MS and what kind of symptoms you were experiencing?
I was first diagnosed in April 1990 after spending about 2 hours in an MRI machine because I had symptoms mainly numbness, tingling in my hands and arms and my feet and toes and legs. So I learned that I had MS.
And what led you to try acupuncture?
I first went to Jennifer in 2015, and this was after a couple of years of incidents of tripping. I mean, I was commuting to work, I'd be walking to work, and I'd trip and fall straight, and glasses flying, briefcase flying, and fortunately not too much injury, and get up and keep going. And I started investigating, and I learned that there was something called foot drop, a symptom of MS. And my wife, who was seeing an acupuncturist, in this case Jennifer, was seeing her for just basic stress relief, relaxation, kept encouraging me to try acupuncture. And I was a skeptic, and I kept ignoring my wife's advice until finally I said, let me try it. Why not? And after the first visit, I was convinced that it was worth trying. And after several treatments, I noticed a change in the condition of my foot. I could really notice that something was changing thanks to the acupuncture treatments.
How would you describe acupuncture? What does it feel like to you?
I was nervous on the first time because I was on a DMT taking injections 3 times a week. So I knew what the size of those needles were, as well as the needles that you get for regular injections from the doctor's office. So I was pleasantly surprised to find out that the acupuncturist uses needles that are quite small and thin. And even though there were about 18 inserted into my body throughout, they were painless. And I found the first time I was there to be quite relaxing and worthwhile.
I know you already started answering my next question, but I'm wondering if you could tell us what benefits you've experienced as a result of your acupuncture treatments.
So the main benefit is I initially went to the acupuncturist to Jennifer because of the situation of the foot drop. I was tripping a lot. And I saw this, and through the number of treatments, that alleviated the situation. And it was sort of training the foot also to better behave. It was so relaxing the foot, and also learn to walk better to avoid that kind of tripping incident. So that made me a believer in the acupuncture. And after that seemed to be relieved, I just kept going on a regular basis because stress is a large factor for those of us living with MS, all kinds of stress. And we know that stress, daily life stress from work, affects different symptoms in MS. So I continue to go on a regular basis just for basically maintenance stress management. It's interesting. I also went back to Jennifer after my second COVID shot because I had the most bizarre reaction 2 weeks after my second COVID shot. I mean, this goes back almost 2 years, where I was out to dinner with my wife. And at the end of dinner, I said, no, I don't think I can walk home. We're 2 blocks away because my feet and legs were just completely frozen. Well, we're 2 blocks away. We walked home very slowly. It was a Friday night. We had a regular acupuncture appointment the next day with Jennifer. I almost canceled it, John. I just felt so terrible in the morning. But I'm so glad I went to see her because after the treatment, I explained to her what was going on. And she took it in. And depending on how you describe your situation, the acupuncture can adjust where the needles go throughout the body. And by the end of that session, that situation would be completely alleviated.
Do you recommend speaking with your neurologist or MS specialist before starting acupuncture treatment?
Yes, you should. If you have the relationship that you should have with your neurologist, and that goes to you should have complete faith and trust in your neurologist or your regular doctor, and that's important because there's so many unknowns about MS. In my case, I did not tell my neurologist I was going to the acupuncturist until after I was doing it, and I could report to my neurologist. I tried the acupuncture, and I believe that this really alleviated, cured my situation with the foot drop.
And what was his reaction to your report?
He was skeptical. I find that not just neurologists, but general practitioner doctors are a little bit skeptical about complementary forms of medicine, whether it's acupuncture or chiropractic or physical therapy. But over time, I've been seeing my neurologist since 2003. So there's almost a family relationship at this point. And he came to empathize and understand my situation. The only guidance from my neurologist is, and this is important for all of us living with MS, do not consider a complementary form of medicine, like a complementary treatment, as a replacement for your DMT. Continue with your regimen of DMT. Don't give that up. If there's something that needs adjusting, we all know, John, there are about 22 approved DMTs available. So you can adjust to another one if one's not working out. Do not give up your DMT. But if you want to try something else, acupuncture, to help with a certain symptom, go ahead.
Well, right now, some of our listeners might be thinking about going ahead and trying acupuncture. But some of them might also be feeling, maybe like you felt initially, a little skeptical. They might be feeling a little nervous. What advice do you have for them?
I would say don't be nervous. To try acupuncture as a way to alleviate a certain symptom, as I did. Firstly, have a conversation with the acupuncturist so you understand fully in advance what the treatment is, what he or she is going to do with the needles, and you can prepare mentally to lie on the table, and if it's successful, the first episode, then you'll keep coming back to it, as I have done.
Well, Jennifer Moore-Boscaino and Ken Bandler, thank you for all that you each do to improve the lives of people living with MS, and thanks for talking with me today.
Thank you, John. Thank you for having us.
Thank you for having us.
That's going to wrap up this episode of Real Talk MS. Real Talk MS is powered by the National MS Society, and you can share this episode of the podcast by letting your friends or family members know that all they have to do is point their web browser at realtalkms.com/271. You'll find that link in today's show notes, so you can easily copy and paste it right into an email or text. And if you have a minute, I hope you'll visit the Apple App Store or the Google Play Store and download the free Real Talk MS app for your iOS or Android smartphone or tablet. It's the best way for us to stay connected. The app will automatically download the latest episode of Real Talk MS. You'll be able to access any of our past episodes. You'll be able to save your favorite episodes. And it's a great way for me to share bonus content with you. The app is free, so I hope you'll download it today. I'm John Strum. Thanks for listening. Stay safe and make healthy choices.